Create Your Bliss with Nika Annan. Today we have the wonderful opportunity of speaking with Dr. Michael Weiner. Dr. Michael Weiner does really amazing work. He is licensed as a chiropractic doctor out of Portland, Oregon. However, his work involves energy and emotional healing, which appears to him is the causal level of physical and personal issues. And all of the amazing work he does, both body and over the phone, is in relation to energy. He is excited about the frontiers of healing, creating new possibilities for our physical body and for how people can be with themselves and in community with others. For instance, we can teach our immune system to separate better from other people's energy and thereby make us less susceptible to infections. And instead of relating with other people through our blocks and needs, with healing, we create the possibility of connecting through who we are. Co-creation becomes a real possibility. His ultimate goal is to teach others how to heal themselves and inspire them to embrace a life of healing. And I've done work with Michael Weiner, and I find his work quite amazing and clearing and empowering in a very beautiful way. And now I have the opportunity to say, what is it that you do, Michael?
At long last.
Yeah. Right.
It's an honor to be with you today, Nika. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk with you.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Great. Where I am with the work at the moment, and there are a lot of different aspects to it. So, yeah, like you said, I can work in person and I work over the phone. They're very different, and there are certain things I can do over the phone I can't do in person and vice versa. The basis of the whole work is, yeah, the emotional piece. We need a healthy emotional process, a way to deal with all the issues that come up, and especially a tool to discern what's our energy and what's not our own energy so that we can separate effectively from it. And so, yeah, it turns out that the emotional arena is the most fundamental level of our energy. It's where our motivation comes from. It's where our intention comes from. And so if we want to transform our own issues, we want to be able to separate from other people's issues, and we want to evolve the motivation behind everything we do and everything we think, then the emotional realm is where we want to focus. And so, yeah, the central piece of the work really is the emotional healing process that I use and teach, and that allows us, again, to move through our experience. The problem that we have is we tend to identify with our experience, and we need some way to move through the emotions so that we can gracefully move through our daily experience. So then when I work on the phone, yeah, I could guide people through their emotions, but I also do read people's energy, so it's a lot of times I'll just be focused on the energy and read what I see, which may or may not be something that my client would feel or see, and then we'll work through that energetically. When I'm doing my own emotional process, I move through the feeling. When I teach other people to do it, they move through the feeling. But when I guide people on an energy level, I'm actually sort of like walking with you through your issue and sort of dragging your energy, I guess, in that direction, but guiding, you know, oftentimes it's the opposite. You know, most people don't want to go into their feelings. So it's like, you know, I sort of feel like I'm like, no, we got to go the other way. And I try to take people
in here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so then, yeah, on that level, you know, so we can work on, sure, you know, personal issues, relationship issues on that level, but also interestingly enough, it's very easy to read physical body issues energetically. Like you were saying about the immune system, our immune system programming is lousy. For, you know, most of us are taught to let everybody in the world into our space, and that's not a healthy immune system. Our immune system is supposed to help us assert ourselves in the world and keep other people's energy out of our space. So right there, we already can see that the physical body is nowhere near to the level that's possible for its function. And then things like the bones and skeleton system, you know, often we're supporting everybody else in the world, and we have to teach our bones and our skeletons to support us. or the heart, for instance. You know, very interesting stuff. I mean, most depression, in my opinion, comes from the heart, because people who are sensitive are going to feel everybody through their heart, and then that gets into the nervous system, and then we see all these symptoms that are nervous system related, but it actually starts in the heart. And so, we can teach our heart how to be compassionate and be caring, but also separate from other people's issues more effectively. And then also, proactive way, to teach the heart how to be caring, loving, devoted, joyful. All these qualities, the wisdom of the heart, the courage of the heart, those are all what a healthy heart creates. So that's sort of the focus there.
One of the things I find really deeply fascinating about your work is you're probably the only person I know, Michael, that does energy work and includes the body, includes the skeletons, the bones, the organs, as well as many other versions of our body. But I find it really fascinating and enchanting and helpful that we work with actual our physical incarnation.
Yeah, I agree. It's really interesting to see what we've done with our body energy. And yeah, some of the obvious things, I mean, we talked about the immune system, we talked about the heart, talked about the bones, but like the hormones, we tend to engage with other people in very deep and emotional ways with other people through, there's 56 major hormones and a whole bunch of minor ones. And so we're engaging with people through our hormones, and it's affecting our physiology. It's affecting everything about our body energy. And so, we want to, it's exciting. It's fun. It's really, it's very interesting to see how it's all connected, and how, earlier today I worked on somebody whose bone marrow had absorbed the family anger and that the person was grew up in, and there it was sitting right in their bone marrow, affecting their red and white blood cell production. And, sure enough, her immune system is definitely not doing very well for her. Kind of autoimmune type stuff. And so you internalize somebody else's judgment, somebody else's criticism, somebody else's anger, and your immune system almost turns against you and you start beating yourself up. So this is very, it's important to understand how our body energy is related to our emotional state and all the events of our past.
And you lead people through this. I heard you talking about feelings and emotions, and that some people go into them and very many people don't want to go into them. Find that
Drag
that
them
is through. The entrance?
The emotions, the emotions are not amenable to other techniques. You can't talk your way out of it. You can't, you can't think your way out of them. They really have a force to them. And when our emotion is behind what we're doing, then we're really into it. And so, we want to align our, the core emotional state with a higher part of our energy, a truer part of our energy, so that we're actually, initiating activity from something that's more meaningful for us, instead of just running a program. And we need an emotional process. Emotions, a thought without the emotion behind it isn't that powerful. Any thought, whether it's positive or negative, with the force of the emotion behind it, now it becomes something more tangible and something that starts altering our physiology and starts altering our lives. So the emotions are central, in my opinion. The hands-on work is completely different than the I still work with energy, but it gets to sort of the next level of my work in a way. I mean, when you and I are working, I'm working with how the light is coming into your body. I mean, light is the basic building block and the basic nutrient for our body. And so when I'm in person, I actually use physical light sources, and I can talk to your DNA and your atomic energy a little more easily. Atomic energy is a little harder to get to just looking at the energy, but we can actually, you can see, the current state of, for most of us, is that we have programming, we've got genetic programming, we've got all our socialization, and that sort of establishes kind of how we respond in the world, and the motivation comes from that level. And so we end up being in response mode. Somebody wants something, I respond. Somebody else tell me to do something, I respond. And what we're really trying to do is shift to the light at the core of our being, and to initiate activity from the light, from your light, from my light. Now it's meaningful. Now, you know, if we're just in reaction, then we're just playing out our program and it's not fully alive. If we shift to our light, and we can identify with our light, then we can bring our light through our body and express it in the world. Now we're going to make some real change in the world. Without that step, I don't really see that we can make that many changes on the planet or really in our lives in a big way. And so when I work with light in person, it's interesting, but physical light actually is very, it almost fools the body and the energy in a way. I can work with physical light and see how somebody is not absorbing it properly, but I can also see that they're not in touch with the light at the core of their being, and they sort of work together. So then we can bring the physical light in and bring the light at the core of somebody's being in at the same time. And then you can see people literally shift from that stagnant, stuck place, which we've all gotten used to and think that that's normal. And then when the light starts flowing, people are alive and their energy starts moving forward, and it's a beautiful shift that happens. And that's the same thing happens when we're working long distance, but it's just working obviously with the pure light, not like with physical light sources and stuff like that, but we're still trying to do a similar thing of bring your light in through your body so you can express who you really are in the world. You know, when you really look around, you see that most of what's happening around us is almost knee-jerk reaction, where we can intervene a little bit and modify how we respond, but for the most part, it's programmed, and the real struggle is for us to become connect with our light, become alive, and really express who you really are in the world. So that's. That's happening even while when I'm working long distance, but it's a little more obviously involved when I'm working on people in person.
And you're talking about two different kinds of light. What do you find happens as you start, I don't know what the word is, balancing or into or working with these both forms of light? What do you find happens with people, with their lives, with their emotions?
Again, light, there's a yin and yang of light. The yin of light is more the physical light that we're, that we experience in the world, and the yang of light is more abstract, more like, when people talk about spirit or soul or more abstract level of energy. So different kind of, they're related, but two parts of the whole. The emotional issues and the programming is what prevents each of us from absorbing the light, again, in all the dimensions of light, the physical and the abstract light, to allow more optimum function in our physical body, more again, attunement with one's own light, and then the ability to bring your light into your body, and express it. So, our light, if you really see our light in relation to our body energy, for the most part, the programming that most of us have in our body is very limiting, and our light can't get anywhere near our body. A lot of the emotional work and trying to move the blocks and get our energy flowing, that's sort of that's a preparatory phase to evolve our physical body so that it's actually hospitable for our light. Otherwise, our light will never come in. The emotional blocks are most of what prevents the light from coming in. And it's for instance, let's say you are waiting for somebody to give you permission to do what you want to do, or you're waiting for somebody to recognize your validity or that you have some value. So you're stuck waiting. And
until something happens.
Yeah, and even when somebody tells you, okay, you can do what you want to do, but really, because most of these blocks developed when we were kids, we don't even remember what we really want to do on the level of our light. And so, so we're waiting for this. We can't, and we don't even know how to begin to connect with our own light and feel it from within. Whereas, you know, as soon as we connect with our light, a different sense of purpose, it's coming from a different place. Instead of like looking for value, the feeling of value is flowing through us. Now we can express our worth. We can express what we value in the world. And so it's almost the opposite. Most of us learn to run around in the world to get our needs met. You know, we're chasing validation, success, love, care. That's all out there in the world. Fulfillment's out there somewhere. Acceptance, approval. And so, you know, That's what most of us do. And so then we do all kinds of things, either in relation to other people to get them to love us or validate us, or we go into the world and we, you know, try to do something to feel successful or to feel like we made a difference in the world or whatever. But we're just chasing feelings. And once we process all that emotion, now and we shift to our light, now we can feel our own fulfillment. We feel our own worth. It's all inside. And then we bring that through and express it. Instead of like trying to find fulfillment in the world, trying to pull energy into us, we actually have it inside and we can express it. It flows through us and out into the world. And again, that's how I think we're really going to transform the planet, is by bringing our light down here and express it through our physical body into the world. And again, you know, like in relation to some of the esoteric teachings and so forth, you know, where enlightenment maybe is literally becoming your light. But we're trying to go even further with that. It's not enough to know that your light's there and to begin to identify with it. We want to bring it in and bring it right back to your body. So we've got to transform our physical body to be able to do that. And again, that takes an emotional process. We have to heal up the blocks that are there to allow our light to come in. So, big stuff.
Yeah, that's really huge. And so how do you, well, I'm thinking for people who are listening to this, like what, is that a process they could learn to do? Is it something you need to have somebody help you do? And what does it feel like when you've moved through that stuff? That's, I guess that's three big questions, so we could separate them out. Do you have one you'd rather talk about?
We can try them all. First of all, yeah, okay. It is something that people can do for themselves. You know, that the emotional process that I teach and use myself, which works great, is all you need. You know, yes, obviously it's nice to be able to be aware of what's going on in your bones and so forth, but it's not essential. What's essential is just any awareness. If you're aware of some emotion, then you've already got material to work on, and it doesn't really matter what level you're working on. If you heal up an issue, whatever level it's on is going to transform. So yeah, you can just work with what you're aware of and process through the emotions. You got to feel them, and then again, the trickiest part of emotional process, which I've never seen anybody talk about, is that you really need to identify what's yours and what's not yours, because if you try to go through somebody else's issue, you're not going to go very far, and that's sort of the tip off. And you try to process anything you're aware of, and if you know, relaxation is what heals, and so if you can relax and feel whatever it is, that begins to get it moving. And it's that movement is the release. And yeah, you might feel that explicitly. You might actually feel the movement of energy. You might feel it as a rush or something just moving through you or whatever. And then once it's actually moved through, then you'll actually feel lighter and your energy will be flowing better. So you'll feel, you know, more playful and there's an ease in your energy. The relaxation in the muscles is probably a big thing that people will feel.
So how do you separate? If you try and release something and it doesn't go,
yeah,
and you find out it's somebody else's, then what do you do with it?
So this is the trickiest part of my work is identifying how we engage with other people. So, you know, the old techniques for handling other people's energy are things like, you know, putting a bubble around you or running white light or cutting cords. I mean, there's all kinds of I would call those all management strategies, and they aren't very effective. What we're after is something that's effective and permanent. So yeah, we're all carrying tons of other people's energy around. And so, yeah, so if I was processing an emotion, which I do every day as often as possible,
gives us lots of opportunities to do it. Like,
yeah, there's plenty of opportunities. Plus, and then we want to, once we get the hang of it, we want to, stimulate stuff, stimulate issues in our body so that we can activate issues, so that we can dig up stuff that maybe has been hidden and work our way through it so we can change the quality of our life. But if we try to relax through somebody else's issue and we really are relaxing, it will actually get stuck if it's somebody else's issue. And so at that point, you need to identify how you actually engage with it. Energy doesn't come into our space unless we let it in. So we can kick it out. But it's tricky because, how we let energy in is often something that we're so comfortable with that it's hard to even recognize. So, for instance, some things are obvious, like let's say, the question is, like, how did I open to, if you know the person, how did I open to this person in our interaction? And, if you open to get approval or validation, then that tells you that you're looking for something. And as soon as you open to somebody, you're going to pull their energy into your space, and rarely is it going to be what you're looking for. So, let's say, I interacted with somebody earlier today and I noticed that I had some negative energy that as a residue from that interaction. And so maybe I'm wrestling with them in my head, I'm arguing with them, or maybe I'm just resisting them, and maybe I'm upset at them for some reason. So that would be a tip off that I'm still engaged with their energy. And then I'd have to find out how I engage. So maybe I'd check, like, okay, how did I open to that person? And if I was like opening for connection or validation, then I would relax through that feeling of wanting connection, wanting validation, wanting acceptance or whatever, sense of worth, whatever it is, and relax through that opening, and then that brings my energy flow back into myself. Now, the trickiest part of this is when we're just engaging through some part of our personality. Those are hard because, our personality has been pretty well, supported through the years and reinforced. So to actually be able to step back and go, okay, some part of my personality engaged with this person, what did I just do? But again, you can still ask, like, how did I open? Was I being caring? Was I taking responsibility? Was I being nice? Was I giving the other person value? And then you relax through the feeling of doing that. So if you're being a responsible person and it pulls people's energy into your space, then you relax through the feeling of being responsible, and that will raise the vibration of being responsible to something that's healthier, so you won't engage in an unhealthy way anymore. See, this is really cool. This is one really great part of the work, is that you get to see immediately whether what you're doing is working or not.
Cool.
if your life is working, then you're not going to have anybody else's energy getting stuck in your space. But if you're interacting with people and there's struggle or there's conflict or there's residual issues after you interact with them, then the world is just sort of, it was revealed that you've got an issue that needs resolution. And so, you can just see, like, and if you're interacting with people and everything's flowing and you don't feel any residue after you're interacting with people, then you're in great shape. But if there is a residue, if there's some anger, resistance, there's some battle going on, then the world has just showed you that, it's not really working very, like, let's say you're being your very caring, very responsible person, but you're wrestling with all these people's energy after you work it, or after you've been interacting with them, and you go home and you're dealing with all their energy. So that shows you that your caring isn't functional enough. And so that's what's really cool, is that the world's going to show us whether our personality really works, whether it's really healthy, or whether it's just some idealistic thing that we developed. It's really cool because we will know immediately if we're being functional with our caring. And so this is, again, we don't have to idealize, like, what should a caring person be like? What should a loving person do? Or how should I be responsible? The world, again, it gives us immediate feedback about whether we're healthy or not. And if we're not, we evolve it in a way that becomes healthy, and we learn directly what does a caring person do. Well, it turns out that, we're used to thinking of being a caring person as feeling what everybody else feels, and and having empathy for everybody in that way. But you know, then you're pulling everybody else's energy in your space, and you can't go through their issues. So that's not healthy enough. So then we heal up our caring, and caring evolves, and then we begin to realize, like, oh, being a caring person actually doesn't engage with other people's issues. You might be present. You're going to be listening. You might offer assistance if they ask for it. You can guide people, but you're not going to engage with their energy because you can't go through it. So just the world shows us whether our way of being in the world is truly functional or not. We get immediate feedback of whether it's not functional, and then once we heal it, we get immediate feedback that, oh, we're in a healthier place, and I'm not going to engage with other people's energy and issues.
So this profoundly changes people, how you relate to people.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it changes. And sometimes, obviously, all of us would have to if everybody's used to us engaging with everybody's energy and all of a sudden we're not doing it, they may get upset and we need to explain ourselves, or we don't have to, of course, but we can educate people about why we're doing things differently. But yes, it does change everything about the relationship. We're used to, we're used to a world in which there's no real healthy emotional process. So as soon as we develop a process, then we're going to function differently within our own energy. We're going to function different in relation to everybody else. And again, most of the world thinks of, caring as engaging with people's issues. So if all of a sudden if we really master that's not healthy, then yeah, it's going to change how we relate with people for sure. Kind of back to one of your other questions there. Yeah, so it changes the nature of our interactions with other people. As you can imagine, having our own energy in our space really is the healthiest way to be. Having other people's energy in our space, not so healthy. Having our energy in other people's space, not so healthy. We want our energy in our space, other people's energy in their space. That way we can take responsibility for ourselves. If it's my issue, I don't want it in somebody else's space. I want it in my space so I can feel it and I can deal with it. And so, in a world in which there's no emotional process, then everybody's trying to offload their issues on everybody else and get away from lousy feelings, at the same time chasing positive feelings around the world. Whereas, when we develop an emotional process, then we can go through our issues. We're no longer throwing them at other people, and we can generate our own positive energy, so we no longer have to chase it around the world. So, yeah, it changes our motivation. It changes how we relate to people. It changes how our body functions. A lot of potential there. You can sort of roughly imagine what might happen in your physical body. Of course, you've been healing all this stuff, so you do feel it and see it. But, really comes down sort of to your imagination too. Like, okay, this is what my lungs are doing. Is that really what they're supposed to do? What could they do? And try to evolve them so that they can actually be operating in a whole different way than we're used to. So we can use our creativity to start redesigning how our body functions.
It's so fascinating, and it works so well, which is what I really love about it. And how did you come to start doing this?
That's no idea.
That's a $64 million question.
Yeah,
clearing your stuff, and it came through you.
I feel super fortunate that I've stumbled onto this path I'm walking. And really fun, that I get to share with you and other folks. I've been trying to understand my experience since really, probably in my teens. I'm sure we all do. Like, what is going on, and who am I?
How does this work, and what am I supposed to be doing, and how do I feel?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's super confusing. Everybody, of course, people who are sensitive, all adults when you're young act like they know what they're doing. They know who they are. They know what's going on in the world. And somebody like you is going like, well, they know. And
Turns out they didn't know,
but they sure acted like they did, which of course is super confusing because you're like, wow, what is going on? They're feeling this, they're saying this, they're telling me they care, but they're like not responding to my needs. They're telling me they love me, but they're hurting me. Like, what is all? None of this stuff makes any sense. And so, you know, I was, you know, it just, it was equally confusing for me, obviously, and and just trying to, yeah, so I was just trying to make sense of the world. So I ended up, for some reason, starting with the emotions. I have no idea why. But then, you know, so I just spent years trying to figure out, like, okay, I'm feeling this. Okay, I'm trying to go through it. And, you know, I did try all kinds of other techniques, breath work and all kinds of stuff, I remember. And, you know, there were little bits and pieces, but nothing really made sense. And so I was just stumbling along until I just, yeah, again, I feel like I'm kind of slow at learning this, but and figuring it all out. But yeah, bit by bit, the pieces came together, and I could have a process, and I could then learn to discern what was mine and what wasn't mine. And, you know, just, you know, as you know, over a period of time, and just one piece after another, and pretty soon you got a whole lot of pieces, and it's pretty fun. Yeah, so the emotional part was right in there, and then learning a little bit about how to, you know, having a practice was cool, because I wanted to work with people on an emotional level and how it related to their body. And so people would, of course, come in with that in mind. And so it was sort of like a laboratory for me to actually, you know, let's feel what's here. Okay, how's that affecting you? And, you know, just years of hands-on practicing, and they call it practice for a reason. And so, yeah, practicing and everybody and just learning with everybody, you know, having great clients come in and who were courageous enough to try things out and learn with me and learn about themselves. And, you know, so then, yeah, just you know, I could feel everybody. So then the ability to see people's energy was took a while, but it still in some ways was relatively easy because I could feel what was going on. So then I could just, like, work on seeing what I could feel. So that it just evolved from there. And then, I don't know, you know, it's like the stuff I do with lights and things like that all, I don't know where I got any of those ideas from, but I just started, you know, just stuff from high school chemistry would pop into my head, and I'd think, oh, I should do this. And sure enough, it worked even better than I thought it would. So, yeah, I created machines to allow me to tap right into the DNA and tap right into the atomic energy and see the energy pop right out there. Yeah.
You created machines?
Yeah. I ordered parts from all around and put things together. And,
how fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, fun stuff. So, yeah, all my high school chemistry and physics came in handy, which was really kind of cool. But anyway, yeah, so, yeah, it's just built one thing on another. And, you know, there's other parts to the work, too, I should maybe touch on a little bit, because it's like, sure. You know, the light, yeah, so shifting out of what we've identified with to move to a level of our light, obviously super important, because that's real. You are your light. And if I identify with my body and I physically die, then it's going to, you know, my light keeps going, but my body doesn't. So it's a little bit of a strange thing, obviously. Transitions should be a lot easier when people know they are their light. And then the next step beyond that is to bring your light into your body so that you express your light through your body, and your body then serves your light, which is completely different than what we're taught to do. And then from there, yeah, to explore all the different levels of energy that I could access, because I really wanted to know the context of what's going on here on the planet. And then also then the next step beyond that is actually to help the Earth directly change, because obviously the Earth is alive, Earth has a physical body, Earth has an energy body, and to help the Earth evolve, because I think that actually is probably even a bigger way that we can help transform the planet. The humans on the planet, because, you know, working one-on-one, obviously can only talk to so many people and work with so many people, but if we can change the energy of the planet, then we can affect everybody simultaneously, which is kind of seems like a good idea.
That sounds fascinating. So how could people participate in that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I am working on Ways to, I mean, when I work with people, there are ways to have help people get, you know, everybody's obviously, you know, you're in touch with the earth, I'm in touch with the earth, people are in touch with the earth, but we want to be more conscious with it. We want to be able to have a dialogue with the planet. And so that part, you know, it's just like the rest of the work that I do and just like the rest of the work you do, you know, as you focus on it, as you spend time doing it, your sensitivity develops and you begin to get, you know, your awareness expands, you begin. So it would be a process, for people to, expand awareness and again, evolve a dialogue. And the goal is not so much, it's not like we want to think positive thoughts about the earth. We really need to help the earth evolve. The earth is no better with its emotions than we are with ours. And so there's a reason why we're all like kind of in an emotional soup here. If we can help the earth learn its emotional process and learn to heal up its emotional issues, and it doesn't assert itself. I mean, you know, you and I have talked about this before, where assertiveness is kind of a strange concept. We're used to lousy examples of yang energy in particular. It's either it's shut down, which is what people who are sensitive like you and I did, or it turns into something that's obnoxious, aggressive, crosses boundaries, manipulative, controlling, you know, and it looks powerful, but it's certainly not. It's actually based in powerlessness. And so sensitive people need to strengthen their yang. We need more yang energy. And assertiveness is actually an amazingly gentle energy. I didn't realize this until relatively recently. Assertiveness, when it's really flowing, almost looks just like playfulness. It is super gentle. What's that?
That's really a cool way of looking at it, yes. I'm sorry.
If I were to encourage people, you know, I would say that, you know, the biggest thing we can do is learn healthy assertiveness so that you can assert what feels right to you and how you assert it in the world. It's not pushy. It's not aggressive. If you can meditate on playfulness and feel the flow, the lightness, the ease of playfulness, then if you can, then you meditate on assertiveness. And that develops our yang energy. That's actually the best way to develop our yang energy, in my opinion. And you relax into assertiveness, you get this flow that's pretty similar to playfulness, only a little more directed. But it's just direction. It's not pushy. It's not forcing anything. It's like a gentle stream just trickling down the hillside. If we can cultivate that assertiveness, that's going to change the planet as well. And so that's a pretty powerful way to influence this place. As well as very effectively change your own life. So I would encourage people to meditate on assertiveness and get that flowing and just feel how gentle it is when it's really healthy. And then that's the yang energy, and that's what the earth is missing. And you know the yin energy, very nurturing. It's easy to think of like, okay, the yin energy needs to rise up, but actually the yin energy is meant to be very internal, meant to be taking care of us inside. It's the yang energy that needs to assert that external part. You and I and everybody and the earth needs to learn how to assert. The earth needs to assert what it really wants. It's not at all. It's kind of wishy-washy and just kind of going along. Oh, you want to do that? Okay, sure. Oh, you want to pollute me over here? Okay, fine. Very wishy-washy planet, I'm afraid. And just like the rest of us. And so it's teaching ourselves and teaching the planet how to assert itself and how to, you know, okay, Earth, what do you really want? You know, do you want to, you know, what do you want to create? What do you want to do? And we have the ability to help the Earth do that partially again by taking care of ourselves and learning how to heal our own yang energy. And then by having a dialogue with the Earth and teaching the Earth to assert itself and create what it really wants. Because I don't know that the Earth knows what it really wants right now.
It may not. You know, it's very interesting that seems to be a question that asked directly. A lot of people don't really know. Like, what do you really want?
Yeah. Well,
what do you really want? Like, what would you want to create with your life?
I'm with you. Totally with you. And to me, that's because people are in touch with their light. You know, if you're just your programming. If people identify with their programming, then, you know, your program is running. That's not very deep or meaningful. So what do you do if your program doesn't kick in and then you're left there? You're like, okay, where's your motivation come from? The metaphor I use is like we're in a room that has no doors or windows. And so we're sitting there in the room and then we decide we're going to go, we have to go to work or something. And so we get up and we push against the wall. And here we are pushing against our limitations and against our programming, but we're just pushing against something that seems immovable. And then when the end of the day comes, we stop pushing. It feels like we're relaxed. And that's our life, going from this pseudo-relaxation, which is really just stuckness, and then pushing against the wall. And so, I mean, that's the gift of healing, whatever kind of healing somebody does, where, you get beyond your programming and you reach something that's genuine in your energy, whatever that is. There's lots of real parts, the highest part of, the highest aspect of energy in this dimension is our light. But there's other parts that we can reach, without having to reach the light, that are more genuine. And so we definitely want our motivation to come from, break through our limitations, get out of our stuck place, and begin to experience these real parts of our energy flowing through our life and express it in the world.
And you work with people, this can sound quite metaphysical, the stuff we've been discussing about, but you work with people who are actually quite ill.
Yeah, full spectrum, the origin, even though this sounds, it's pretty abstract, but the origin of our diseases and disorders really relates to this, because, the life force really comes from the light. And so, if there are energy blocks in our body that impair the flow of our light, then we're going to end up having health issues. And so, it was surprisingly, in my experience, a surprisingly large number of health issues are related to having foreign energy in our space. It's very practical, even though it sounds abstract and stuff. But I've seen it over and over, whether it's heart disease or cancer or depression. The full spectrum of mental and physical health issues. A lot of them have to do, like, most of the people who are depressed are very sensitive people who have just absorbed a ton of energy through their heart and they can't separate from other people, and that creates depression, but it also affects the heart, obviously. And there's a reason why heart disorders, heart disease, is such a big issue in our day and age here. Cancer is often a lot of medical people even talk about cancer as like it's almost like a different form of life inside you. It takes over and starts running the show and has its own little game going. And I've treated a number of cases where that's been visible causes. Somebody else's energy in person's space. Actually, the amazing thing to me is how well people do with so much energy in space. I don't even know how we can walk down the street with so much junk in our space. Seriously, it's like, wow, we're amazing to be able to do all the things we do with so much interference. It's a miracle, really. But it also shows our potential to be like, wow, what would it be like without all this interference?
A clear sense of who they were and had their energy and all sort of did that, and then how would we interact?
So starting, like you said, on an individual level, bring that in, and then imagine if there's a group of people or perhaps the whole world operating on that level. It's almost inconceivable what things would be like, how people would, what would be interesting to create, what would you do, Yeah, I'm sure it would look completely different than what we've created on the planet so far.
It's so exciting to think about, though, about what we could actually be if we weren't. And it's interesting because I think when we're often running other people's energy, it doesn't do them any good, and it just keeps everybody more stuck.
Yeah, I agree.
Everybody's sort of handing energy around.
Yeah.
so it's kind of we're holding each other down or away or something.
Yeah, it's like we're participating in the same in the group dysfunction. So yeah, we're all sharing the same. You know, you can see on one level where it seems good because nobody really, you know, nobody's totally alone with their issues and everybody's sharing and it's like, okay, we're all in this together. But yeah, like you said, it doesn't help anybody move forward. If I'm carrying other people's energy around them, they don't have to deal with that energy. That is true. And so. You know, yeah, it's helpful to heal, give everybody their energy back, and you take your own energy, and I take my energy, and deal with my energy, and then that again gives other people the opportunity to take care of themselves and heal what comes up. Don't want to be carriers.
No, and it's amazing how some of the processes that you teach are very simple and extremely powerful. And can really shift energy majorly. So I did want to talk about, you have a couple of books out, Michael.
I do. And in fact, the second edition of the first book just came out like 2 days ago or something, and it's available. Yeah. So I haven't actually seen it yet. It's on its way, apparently. I should get it on like Tuesday. But anyway, yes, there's the first book is called Healing, The Path to Freedom, and it goes into depth about the emotional process and how important it is and how it affects all the different aspects of our life. The first book is mostly like more on the mental, emotional level, you know, not so much physical, and just how to work with emotions and how it affects our relationships and different aspects of emotions, judgment, competition, responsibility, and just how to work with emotion in relation to other people. So yeah, I'm thrilled to have the second edition out because it's a much more complete presentation, and so super excited about that. And then the second book is called Light Medicine, Healing Our Body, Our Life, and Our Planet. And that's more specifically, it basically takes all the material from the first book and how to process emotion and then turns the attention to the physical body and how we work with body issues. There is a discussion in there, quite a lot of discussion in there about light and the different aspects of light and how that influences our experience and kind of lays out the goals and what we're trying to do to reach our light and become our light, and kind of the steps that we have to go through to achieve that. So, yeah.
And let's give people your website and talk a little bit about how different ways they can work with you if they are moved to evolve themselves. And it works wonderfully, folks. I have to tell you, it's really fun.
It's fun on my side too. You know, you get to see people's potential and help people move in that direction. It's the coolest thing possible. But yeah, my website is simply michaelweiner.com, michaelweiner.com. And there's a contact page there if somebody's interested in reaching us via email. I think the phone number might be on there too, actually. And so you can always phone. My assistant's name is Betty. She's phenomenal at teaching the emotional process. I'm more of a doer. I get in there and help people get through their issues by kind of going in there and pulling them along. and Betty's a super teacher. People love working with her to actually learn the steps and really, you know, take charge of their process. And yeah, she's a wonderful person, wonderful teacher. We mostly work over the phone. Occasionally people will fly in and I'll do some work in person with people. But sometimes I fly around. There's clients all around the world.
You travel a lot. You go to several continents, actually.
Yeah, pretty busy in Europe, pretty busy in Austria mainly, and then pretty busy in South Africa, and places like Bermuda, and then all across the U.S., from Hawaii to Maine.
Wow.
Florida, not to Alaska yet, Florida to Washington, though. But yeah, there's people scattered all across the country, and Yeah, very fun to work with people. Lots of people I've never met, which it's fascinating, you know, to get really deeply involved with people's healing process and take them through life-changing issues and yet never really see them. You know, I guess you and I haven't met in person, so yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of a fascinating adventure, you know, this virtual world that we live in and how, in a way, it's all carried by light, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Phone energy and the web and all that stuff is different formations of light.
Yeah. Now, maybe that's part of why this is opening the way it is and going in this direction is sort of my pet project to help the earth move to a better place. And I guess we got to do it on all levels here. So, through books, through the healing work, through working on the planet, through the internet, getting information out there, but also getting process going for people.
And sharing that. Well, is there anything else you would like to share with this amazing group of people around the world who are listening in today?
Thank you for the opportunity to share the. Yeah, I've also enjoyed working with you, and also just discussing things with you has been a treat. It's fun to. And to be able to put this out to the rest of the world as well. The thing about, the word healing, the word energy, it's used by a lot of people, so it's really difficult to actually demonstrate what's so different about what we're trying to do. But there's a lot of very important differences, and we're really, one of the easiest ways to state the most important difference is that we really want you to have your energy in your space, bring your light in. I want to bring my light in, not to have somebody mediating that. We don't want to go through anybody or anything else to connect with our light. That really doesn't work. We want to have a direct connection, and that's a very, very big difference with this work. So that's our goal. Be your light.
Be your light. Find it, be it, allow it. Let go of all those funny stories that we have that are in the way. And realize in that locked room with no windows that we can just dissolve it.
Yeah. Limitation free. It would be amazing. Amazing to see what life would be like without. If people were encouraged from childhood to become their light and to bring that through, and it might be challenging, and the system's not set up for that. It's set up for management and to school people in the system, but if we had people who really, if everybody was alive, really alive.
Fabulous. It'd be really interesting to figure out how to deal with children with this so they don't integrate and take everybody's stuff on.
Yeah, that's a tricky thing. I have worked with lots of kids, and it is mm-hmm. phenomenal. It's beautiful. But it also is challenging because, the kids also do need to be able to function in the world the way it is. So
exactly.
I'm still not totally sure what's best, whether it's better to, nudge kids along and let them totally integrate into society and then work later as adults to evolve. I'm not sure what would be best. If the world was set up differently, it would be easier to just bring kids along and let them be their light. But we've got to learn how to function in this world too. So, it's a tricky dance.
Yeah, it's a tough balance about how to keep that going. But it would be an interesting... I think an interesting process to keep in mind as a parent.
Yeah.
Maybe not even to think that you have to do it, but maybe to do a lot of processing your own feelings.
Yeah, I think that. But as a very simple way to do it is just to teach kids emotional process, so they don't have to be afraid of their feelings. And at an early age, what are we feeling? And you can put words in there and go like, it looks like you're feeling hurt. Okay, let's feel hurt. Let's just feel it. Just you and I. And begin to teach kids how to go through emotions early on. And if it's just that step alone, that would be fantastic. Because then by the time they're teenagers, they'd be able to effectively identify what's theirs and what's not theirs and be able to separate from the other kids and be themselves instead of getting caught up in social structures and stuff.
That's really interesting as you say that because it reminded me, I heard Jill Bolte Taylor talk last week, and she's quite amazing. She wrote My Stroke of Insight,
Not familiar. Yeah, I'm sort of out of
that,
the circle.
It's a fascinating book. But anyway, she was saying that physiologically our emotional cycle is 90 seconds. So if we can totally participate in it for that 90 seconds and then not retell the story, it goes away.
Yeah.
And that's what she's a neuroanatomist. Anyway, she's an interesting person to look into. But I was really struck by that and thought, wow, so when those things come by really fleetingly and you're like, okay, what was that? If you let go of it, you don't really have to know.
Just
have it come up and release it and not tie in and not. Yeah,
yeah, we want it to be part of the experience, not part of the identity, for sure. Yeah, that is definitely.
That's lovely. To be part of the experience, not part of the identity.
Yeah.
My experience is not my. Great.
Yeah, so it sounds like that's what she's talking about there, where you don't get hooked into it and you just, you don't experience it for long and you move on.
Well, again, we've been having this fabulous conversation with Dr. Michael Weiner, and it's www.michaelweiner.com. He does healing work on the phone as well as in body. He has two wonderful books, Healing the Path to Freedom. Although both editions are available on Amazon, get the second one.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah.
They must still have small copies.
Yes. It has better explanations, more exercises, new chapters, and a smoother flow.
Perfect.
And the other one is Light Medicine, Evolving our Body, Our Life, and Our Planet. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today, Michael.
Oh, it's been a complete pleasure and honor. Yeah, thanks, Nika. Yeah, always a treat to talk with you, but today was special. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.